Your Bibles, turn to the book of John, chapter 12, verse number 37. We're going to read verse 37. And the title of this message is The Final Word. And maybe we could call it all kinds of things, but it's the final word. And it's his final message here to the public. It's his final public message. Before he goes to the cross, there's no more sermons, there's no more. Now he has one more, and it's with his 11 disciples. The traitor leaves, Judas leaves. Judas appears here and reveals something about his character and his nature in this passage, but it's Jesus' final message, final words to the public. He kind of climaxes everything here. So that's chapter 12 of John. It's the final word, the final word. And it's very interesting, okay? So let's read, and we can't read the whole thing. Of course, there's 50 verses. And we've actually tugged at this a little bit back before Christmas started, and then we diverted off for the Christmas break. But it is loaded with stuff. The whole book of John, I was telling a pastor yesterday, last night I was on the phone with a pastor in Manitoba, and I said, we're going through the book of John. I've never done it before. And I said, it's really amazing what I have learned about the ministry of Christ and the person of Christ in the book of John. And when you dig through chapter, verse, all the way through the book like that, it really reveals some interesting things about Christ, who he was. You can almost feel the God, feel him in your presence there as he was making these calls that were all leading to his death. And of course he knew that it was all part of God's plan, but still it wasn't easy. Just like you're part of God's plan, we have a part of God's plan, it's not easy. Just remember, keep your focus on the will of God just like Jesus did. He gave us the example. Keep focused on the cross, okay, and on the good days to come. Well, John chapter 12, verse 37, and then we're going to pop all the way down, verse 42. Okay, so verse 37, it says, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. He had done, now remember, this is the end. And he'd done so many miracles, and yet they believed not on him. The miracles didn't do it. They saw him heal. They saw people, they saw Lazarus raised from the dead just recently. They still don't believe. They're amazed, they're interested, and they're mesmerized, but they're not believers. They hadn't believed. No, some had, but the majority had not. Now, I wish we could read it all, but we don't have time. Let's go down to verse number 42. Verse 42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. So was this a contradiction? No. He's saying there were some believed. Always there's some, just like there is today. We have 35,000 people in Prince Albert. There's some in church today, in the Alliance Church, in our church, in the other churches. There's some who are believers, but some, many are not. The majority are not. Yesterday we were handing out our little things to the flyers there. David Crossman and I were on one street going down the street, and Brother Grant Bennett, and this, maybe it was you and me, I can't remember who, we were going down there, and all of a sudden this guy, he takes the paper and he chucks it out in the yard. He comes out, checks his mailbox, he says, take this garbage. And I wanted to go and talk to him and just ask him why that piece of paper bothers him so much. If he would just stop and think about it, you know. But you don't, you get that very little, the odd time. It was probably a bad morning. Maybe he had a bad night. I don't know. So verse number 42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. So they were afraid, fear. Okay, verse 43. together, everybody. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Verse 44, Jesus cried and said, He that believes on me believes not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light unto the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Together, and if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last days. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, even so I speak. Okay? His final word. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you will help these words make a difference in our life today. If there's anybody in here that has not believed, Lord, that's my prayer, is that everybody that hears these words that were spoken 2,000 years ago, that became the eternal word of God, will be believed. Because it does us no good if we do not believe. We can hear it, but it's believing. So please, Lord, do that work of grace so that we can believe, so that we can repent and believe. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The final word. We see in these final words, we see the verse 44, what we just read. We see believing in God, in Jesus, is believing in God. And that's really what he's saying in verse 44. He is saying, if you believe in me, you're believing in God. He's saying, I am God. And believing in me, you're believing in God. Now, I want you to notice in verse 44, he says, and Jesus cried. You see this every once in a while, in not often, but every once in a while, it says, Jesus cried. It means he cried out. He's got a crowd of people in front of him. It's his final words, and he's crying out these final lesson that has been taught really over 3 years he's been teaching this, and now he has cried out this final word. That's why he cries it out. He lifts up his voice and he cries out and he said, he that believes on me believes not on me, but on him that sent me. And he's still crying out. And he that sees me sees him that sent me. He's saying, I am God. You believe on me, my words, I'm God. You see me, you're seeing God. I am the true God. I am God. And he's crying out. It's one last pitch. It's one last final word to this unbelieving crowd of people. One final word. And he gives another teaching on light. Light. I am come light unto the world, that whosoever believes on me should not abide in darkness. Now, we've heard a lot about light. He's taught about light a lot in the whole Gospel of John. Light. I'm the light of the world and I'm light. And we'll talk a little bit about that here in a minute. And then he says, you have the choice. Everybody has the choice to receive or reject. In verse 48 is to the rejectors, those who reject him. He that rejects me and receives not my words has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last days. Judgment of the word. The word is going to be our judge. And then he says, verse 49, my word is from God. My word is from God. This is not my word. It's God's word. And we say that today. This is God's word. Every word is God's word. It's worth sharing the words of God. And then he says in verse 50, his word is everlasting life. That word commandment, and that his commandment is everlasting life. It's his word, commandment. What he's saying is believe on me. That's the commandment. Believe everything. Okay? But it's his final word. Now we see in this whole chapter a lot of final important lessons. We see the importance of his final word. Okay? We see the final opportunity to serve here in this chapter. The final opportunity to serve, and what it is, we see in chapter 12 and verse 1, we see he had raised Lazarus from the dead in Bethany, just a little way from Jerusalem, and he's down there having supper with them, with that family in Bethany, with Mary, Martha, and guess who else is there? Lazarus, who he had just raised from the dead. And that'd be a good person to have at supper. That would attract a lot of attention, and it did. People were coming from Jerusalem. People were coming from around. Lazarus was raised from the dead. Did you hear? Jesus raised somebody from the dead. Can't be. He couldn't have been really dead. He must not have been really dead. And it had to be a trick, a hoax, and all that. No. He was raised from that. He was in the grave for 4 days. 4 days. And he rose from the dead. And here he is sitting at supper with the family. Martha, Mary, and Jesus. They're all sitting at the table. And of course, Martha and Mary are elated with joy and love for what Christ has done for them. Martha is serving, and Mary, she does something very unusual. She takes a bottle of ointment. And this ointment was so expensive that it would have taken a whole year's wages to buy this expensive ointment. And she just wants to do something special for Jesus. It was her final opportunity to serve and do something special. Do you realize that 2020 could be the final year for you and me to do something special for Jesus? In fact, this week could be the final week for you and me. You never know. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know what next week. But I think we see here is she didn't want to miss the opportunity. You know, yesterday, I didn't feel like going out and handing out flyers. I didn't. I just have to be honest with you. I did not feel like getting up and coming in or getting, you know, leaving my study and coming in to do this. I thought, you know, I need to study. I've got a lot of studying to do. And I haven't had much time to study. I've been very busy this week with a lot of situations in Saskatoon, Regina. And I've had a lot of things overwhelming, to be honest with you. But I got up from my study and I came in here and met with you. And I thought, it's just probably going to be Reuel and me and Mary Ann and I got here. And I couldn't believe it. Like people just started, the elevator would go and there's another group coming in, another group. We had about 15 people yesterday going out. And you know what it was yesterday? If I wouldn't have, I would have missed the opportunity to serve, to take out those flyers and go all over Prince Albert and get them out there. The right choice. It's the title of our magazine, The Right Choice. Now, and I'm not trying to lay a guilt trip on you. That's not what I'm doing here. Because some of you, I'm not trying to say, you know, if you're not doing, I'm saying it was an opportunity. And you couldn't. If you can't, you got family stuff or whatever. What I'm saying is, boy, if there's an opportunity to serve, don't miss it. Don't miss it. It's a joy to serve. And I was so glad, and it actually helped me in my study. I got done there, got back home, And it just did something to go out there and do that. And with Grant and David and all the other people that were there. And the joy was seeing some of the young people come out and help. Opportunities. Opportunities to serve. You know, God, that's the beauty of being in a local church. There's opportunities. That's one thing a church does, is it offers opportunities for you to get involved in serving. And boy, we have a great serving church. We really do. We have a lot of stuff. We have senior home ministries, RU addiction ministries, prison ministries. I was sharing that with a pastor in Manitoba here last night, and he says, wow, how big is your church? I said, not big enough. He says, you guys do all that? And I said, yeah, we got a few people that really are sold out serving. That's really how it happens. And we have, but it's growing. That's how a church grows. I'm telling you what it is in a local church is you have opportunities to serve, opportunities to do something special. That's what Martha and Mary were doing here. Okay, she takes out that pound of ointment, verse 2 of chapter 12, verse 3. Then Mary took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly. And we see in another passage of scripture how costly it was. It translates into 1 year's wages. That's how costly it was. She took 1 year's wages and bought this very expensive ointment to give, to share with Christ. And she anointed the feet of Jesus, wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. It was the odor of the ointment filled the house. You know, that's what Jesus does to your house. And he does to this house, he does to your home. Nothing will change the atmosphere in your home like Jesus Christ. I'm serious, it will. I remember a guy coming, he was a mechanic, an engineer, AME guy, and he came up from Prince Albert one time in the north, and he was working on our airplanes. We try our best. Our church was in our home. We had a big house up in the north, and we had the church in one section of the house. It was all designed to be a church, and the rest of the house was a house. And then during the week, that church, all the chairs went out, and it became a playroom for a bunch of kids, and we always had kids over and so forth. But this man, this AME, came up, and he spent a couple of 3 days there working on our airplanes. And he would come to our house for dinner and different things like that. And he told me at the end, he says, you know what? He says, your home is really different. There's something different about your house. Of course, we'd pray for our meals and all of these things. This guy was not a Christian. And I told him, I said, you know what makes our home different? I'll tell you what it is. It is Jesus Christ. That's what makes our home different. It is the presence of Jesus. And I said, my home wouldn't be different if I wouldn't have accepted Jesus Christ. So Martha and Mary are, of course, their brother has just been raised from the dead. He's sitting at supper. They're trying to show this love to him for what he has done. It was their last final opportunity. But it was also the final opportunity for one more guy. It was Judas. Look at Judas here. Verse number 4, then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. Why, he starts coming up with these excuses, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Verse 6 explains the heart of this man. Then he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag or the treasury, he had the money, and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus to him, let her alone. Against the day of burying hath she kept this. For the poor have always you have with you, but me you have not always. What he's saying? What he's saying here is they have an opportunity. They aren't missing the opportunity. This is their final day. And I don't know, God had ordained it, but they knew this was a final day, final opportunity. But it was a final opportunity for Judas too. Judas was being offered this final day. Judas could have got in on this. Do you realize Judas had spent 3 years with him, had watched him, had observed all of the miracles, had seen not just like one of the crowd, but he was one of the inner circle. And God had offered him the same thing that Mark and Matthew and John and all of them, but he rejected it. He rejected it. He rejected it. And what Judas saw, he was evaluating the whole scene around him. And Judas saw bad. He saw everything closing in. He saw the Pharisees are against you. The leaders are against you. It's going down. We thought you were going to be the king. You've greatly disappointed us. We thought you were going to do this. We thought you were going to do that. We thought this, and you're going to end up, we're going to end up totally disbanded and destroyed here. Judas was reasoning in his mind. He was just rationalizing and reasoning instead of believing. And you know what it did? He missed the opportunity. And of course, the end of Judas is just destruction. Within a few days, Judas hangs himself in total, unbelievable circumstances. He didn't realize what he was about to do, this betrayal, what it was going to do to Jesus. He didn't expect Jesus to die. He wasn't thinking that, but he was totally not connected to Jesus, and he didn't have any heart for love for Christ because he didn't have any faith in his heart. He hadn't believed. Judas missed the opportunity, the final opportunity. But it wasn't just the final opportunity for Mary and Martha and Judas. It was the final opportunity for Jerusalem to offer, to accept him as king. Look at verse number 12. On the next day, that's tomorrow, much people were come to the feast. When they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they're all excited. Jesus is coming. He was in Bethany yesterday. Yeah, he was having supper with over at Bethany with Martha and Mary, and he's coming to Jerusalem today. And it was a feast day, another feast day the Passover feast was just about to happen. So they're all coming in from all over. And they're all heard the rumors about Christ, are excited, and they are watching. And this is what happens. Verse number 13. They took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. Now, was he the King of Israel? Absolutely. He was the King of Israel. He is going to be the King of Israel. And verse 14, and Jesus, when he had found a young ass, a donkey, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Sion. Behold, the King cometh sitting upon a donkey's colt. He said he's sitting upon a donkey's colt, a little donkey. And why did he do that? It was exactly foretold in the book of Zechariah that he would come into Jerusalem. The king would come riding on a colt donkey. And that's what Jesus came. He came riding on a donkey. But what this was, folks, this was the final opportunity for Jerusalem to officially accept him as king. He is king. He is the king. He's going to be king. And by the way, what I see happening right now in Iran, this big, this killing this leader, the U.S. airstrike and all of this with this fellow, this leading head general out of Iran, plus a bunch of other guys that were all in the vehicle convoy, really leaving the airport in the Baghdad airport in Iraq, and they had arranged an airstrike, and Hellfire missiles intercepted the convoy, and of course they were killed. And of course the war goes on over there. It will never end. It's going to go on and on and on. But one of these days, something is going to spark a Middle East conflict that is going to be the beginning of the end. I talked to somebody this morning, and I said, that's what we are headed towards. This Iranian thing could bring in Russia, China, with the pleasant geopolitical climate that we have, and it could bring in, there's been world wars started over less than this. It could happen if God allows it. Now, he can stop it, but something is going to ignite a final conflict that is going to bring us into a war. You know what? We could be closer to our final opportunities to serve, to believe, to do, than we think in this world. I said this morning to this man, I said, do you know what it says in the book of Matthew that except these days be shortened, there should be no flesh left on the earth. That's Matthew, written 2,000 years ago. All the ballistic missiles and that are all armed and ready to go. Here was the opportunity for the people of Israel to accept him as their king. Not only was it the final opportunity for them to accept him as king, and they didn't, there was a few people, but a few, not hordes. There was a few, but there, and even those people weren't believers in their heart. They wanted a king, but they didn't want to believe. Believing was their stumbling block, okay? Now, there was also the final words on following Christ. I want us to see in verse 23, he gives these final words, and these are probably the most important. If you're sitting on the fence about deciding, do I follow Christ or do I not? And this is what he lays out for this crowd, final words, on the final day, on the final message. He says in verse 23, Jesus answered them, this crowd that are interested, show us who's Christ. Verse 23, he says, answered them saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. He's talking about his death. They don't understand his death yet. Verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. What on earth is he talking about? What is this God? What does he mean? He's giving his final message. This is important. Verse 25, he that loves his life shall lose it. And he that hates his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. He hates his life. Now, this word hate in the Bible, King James Bible, it probably, the way we would understand that today would be disregard. But it's a powerful word. Don't regard your life, regard the life of serving. Don't regard your life, regard the opportunity you have to serve and live for Christ. Don't regard what the consequences, just regard this. We have an opportunity, don't miss it. That's what he's saying. Don't miss. And he says, he that loves his life, verse 25, shall lose it. He that hates his life in this world will keep it. Verse 26. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, look at the last part, him will my Father honor. It'll be worth it, guys. Ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be worth it. If you serve Jesus, you're going to be honored by God himself. God is promising, if you serve me, I will honor you. If you reject me, there is serious consequences for rejection. He gives that final word. Now he makes one more claim here. Verse number 35. Jesus said unto them, yet a little while the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walks in darkness knows not where he's going. Verse number 36, while you have the light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. Because they were looking, the leaders were ready to get him. And he just slips away as he did often. He says these final words and he goes away. Okay, now go down to verse number 44. He gets on this opportunity to receive the light. Verse 44, Jesus cried and said, he that believes on me, believes not on me. And he cries, it's his final words. This is it. He doesn't give any more sermons. There's no more messages. This is the final one. He cries and he says, he that believes on me, believes not on me, but on him. I'm God. Then he says in verse number 46, I am the light of the world. Whoso believes on me should not abide in darkness. But if any man hears my words and believes not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. And you say, boy, that's good. That's good. He came to save the world, and so I'm okay. Yeah, but it's based on one thing. It's based on believing and receiving and believing His word. And if you receive and believe His word, you have life everlasting. If you reject His word, the word will be your judge. He uses us, really, it's the same thing He teaches in John 3. Let's go back to John 3, John chapter 3. And we'll see here in John chapter 3, and verse number 17. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be, what's that word? Saved. So Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. He came so the world could be saved. That was the whole mission. And for 2,000 years, that has been happening. The word has been going out, the gospel, to save. But look at the next verse, verse number 18. He that believes not on me is, he that believeth on Him is not condemned. Okay? But he that believes not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And the whole John chapter 3 is teaching that. He's teaching that to one man, a religious Nicodemus. He's teaching this gospel story, this gospel lesson to Nicodemus, this words, God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. That was a message to one man. And now he says, verse number 19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. He's saying condemnation, rejection of the word, it all, you are condemned already. He says, I didn't come to condemn the world. The world is already condemned. It's under condemnation. I came to save them from condemnation. I have brought the message of salvation so that if you believe on me, you will be saved from the curse of condemnation that is already on the world. Wherefore is by one man sin, and sin passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Romans 5:12. The sin is all over. It's upon the world. And what God may be giving you today, He might be giving you today, is an opportunity. And it could be a final opportunity. It could be your final opportunity to believe. You don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. We don't know what our world's going to do tomorrow. We don't know. And I'll tell you, when the gospel is preached and you hear, it could all be different a week from now or a year from now. Today could be your final opportunity. Not only your opportunity to believe, but it could be your final opportunity to serve. Serve Him. Become a Martha, a Mary. What can I do for Jesus? I don't want to waste my life. I don't want to be like that guy the other day that says he's growing old, and he says, I watch my dad and I don't want to be like my dad. My dad lived that, he was successful but empty. Empty. His life was empty. He was religious but empty. He had no life, no love in his heart. It was empty, and he's restless now. He can't hardly stand himself because he's living this empty, unfulfilled life, and he's at the end of the road. Now is the time. Now. And I said to that guy, and he's not a young guy, I said, you can change that now. You can make a difference now. You need to change some things in your life. I call it the God first priorities. Just change some priorities in your life. God first priorities. That'll get a lot of things straightened out. Just God first. I'm going to make God first in my day. I'm going to make God first in my life. I'm going to make God first in my home. I'm going to make God first in my week. I'm going to make God first. God first. God first. That's a good place to start. And I'll tell you, if you do that, I did that years ago, and I'm not any super anything. I really honestly try. Many years ago, there was a verse in the Bible, Matthew 6 and verse 33. It says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And I thought, you know what? I'm going to do that. Now, I didn't know at the time what it was going to cost me. And I can say after 42, 43, 44 years, it hasn't cost me anything. It's paid in life. You see, God could be giving you a final opportunity. A final opportunity. I had a guy, I don't think he's here today. He told me a while ago in the prison. He said, I believe, God is giving me one more chance. And he said, I think for an addict, there's three places. You go to the hospital, you go to the jail, and you end up in the cemetery. And he says, I've been to the jail, I've been to the hospital, I do not want to end up in the cemetery. I think God is giving me a final chance, an opportunity. I said, boy, if he's giving it to you, you keep your ears and you make some changes. God could be, you know, he does that. He says, listen, I've had enough of this. I'm giving you an opportunity. Do you not see what I'm trying to do for you? Did those fools, all those people, they didn't see what Jesus was offering them? They didn't have time to go to their Bibles and actually see this is the Son of God. Now, a few did, but not many. Jesus was offering them the opportunity of eternal blessing, and they missed it. Missed it. Missed it. And every year we get older. We're in 2020, just going to 2020. What's 2019? Just think of it like this. Think of it like this. If every person in this church was a person just like you, what would this church be? Like, if everybody would follow you and say, I'm going to follow that guy or that lady, and I'm going to be just like her or just like him as a Christian, what would this church be? Like, what are you setting as an example? Let's seize the opportunity. Don't miss it. Because you know what's going to happen at the end? When your final day comes? You know when the books are opened there in heaven? The judgment books? You know which books are going to be opened? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, 1 Corinthians. Because he says there, the word is going to judge you in the last day. That's going to be our judge, and we're all going to be standing with our mouth open. I heard that. You will be speechless. You'll have nothing to say because you didn't follow it. You had the opportunity, and you had another opportunity, and another opportunity, and another opportunity. And God gave you another opportunity, and he's giving you another opportunity today. Let's pray. Father,